The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hung in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, July 20th, 2019. The title of the message is Knowing and Experiencing Christ as the Pattern. Scripture verses are Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 15.
It's out through the mouth of God. Lord, we desire to breathe your word in this morning. Oh, your word is your own breath, the breath of life. Thank you for your word. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are reviewing the second week of this wonderful conference on the experience of Christ. This message too is titled Knowing and Experiencing Christ as the Pattern, and is based on many verses of the Bible, of course. To see through the revelation of one verse of the Bible, we need the rest of the Bible. But mainly, we have been this week in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians. And I am going to share just a couple of points briefly, and then Brother Timothy also will share a portion. But this is just a segue for your sharing. We all have this Christ living in us. And today, God speaks to the church in the Son, the corporate Son. So not only the individual Christ, but the Christ that is in us desires to speak to the church. Amen. So we pray that we will be those faithful stewards that let the riches that are deposited in us to flow for the benefit of the building up of the church. So the Apostle Paul wrote the Epistle of Philippians on the subject of experiencing Christ. And in chapter 2 of this epistle, we find a very crucial point, a very key point for us to experience Christ. And that is verse 5. If we see chapter 2, verse 5 of Philippians, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Amen. Let's declare this together. Let this mind. So this mind wants to be in us, but we have to let this mind. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we see verses with the same expression. Verse 15 of Colossians 3 says, "And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts." And verse 16 says, "And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So for something to dwell, it has to be something living. Amen. Right? A chair doesn't dwell in a house. A person dwells in a house. So we have Christ dwelling in us. So here the word is also actually personified. The word is Christ himself. The living Christ, the resurrected and ascended Christ, living in the believers. And we must allow this Christ to dwell, not only to dwell in us, but to dwell in us richly. Amen. As the Word. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Bible. This is the truth. So when this Word dwells richly in us, actually Christ is dwelling richly in us. So this matter of letting is the key. And we're speaking in Philippians of the mind. The mind. So for the mind be in us, this mind that was also in Christ Jesus, speaks also of something living. This is a living mind. It's Christ himself who wants to occupy our mind. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, the word tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us we already have the mind of Christ. But how is it that we many times find ourselves still in our old fallen mind? This is because when we receive Christ, we receive also his mind. If you have received Christ, you have the mind of Christ. but he was sown in the deepest part of our being, in our human spirit. And he desires to grow as the seed of life, to occupy our whole being, especially our mind, because God not only wants to save us from eternal perdition when we receive him in our spirit, he also wants to carry out a full salvation, to save our whole soul by transforming our soul. And according to the Bible, our created human soul has three main parts. We're very familiar with this: the mind, emotion, and will. But the leading part of our soul is our mind. So if Christ can get into our mind and permeate our mind, he will find a way to transform us. Oh, this is what we need to experience Christ. So this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, is actually a transforming mind. It's a renewing mind. It's a living mind. It's Christ himself who wants to occupy our mind. But we have to let him. And why we say that this mind is a transforming and renewing mind? Because the Bible tells us so. In Ephesians 4:23, we have those verses, says that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Here is the key for the Christian life, that we will be renewed in our mind by letting this mind that was in Christ Jesus to spread into our mind. However, this doesn't happen as an changed mind. Many believers will hope that this will be the case. We'll receive Christ, so now the old mind goes away, and now I have a new mind. But the work of salvation of God in the Bible is not of a changed mind, but of a renewed mind. This happens in a process, day by day. As daily and moment by moment, we depend on him, we contact him, we seek his presence, we open to him and allow this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, be in us. This mind refers to the person of Christ in his way of thinking, in his person. The ministry, in some way, in some parts this week, I believe it was day one, said that this is the practical Christ. I love that phrase. Christ brought into practice. Christ brought into practicality. For that to happen, he needs to occupy our mind. We have to let this mind be in us. And the book of Philippians tells us specifics of what this mind is like. In verses 3 and 4, we have them there. We can read these verses, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. So when in verse 5 we read, let this mind be in you, is referring to verses 3 and 4 about the considering and the regarding. This considering one another more excellent than yourself. So it's not acting like this person is more excellent than me. It's actually considering that as a fact. You know, it's two different things. Acting politically, and another is really considering the other more excellent than myself. This is not our mind. This is the mind of Christ. And not regarding each his own virtues, but the virtues of others also. In our fallen mind, we're experts of actually finding many people who we will say they have no virtues. But actually the mind of Christ finds the unvirtuous virtues. Because this is not actually our own consideration or our own regarding, but the regarding of the mind of Christ. and the considering of the mind of Christ. So even if we continue, we see a pattern for the Christian living. Verses 6, 7, and 8, continuing in Philippians chapter 2, says, who existing in the form of God did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of a cross. Amen. This is the pattern. Who can follow such a pattern? Only Christ is this person. So we're not trying to follow this pattern as an outward pattern, as an outward performance, but rather we have a living pattern. We sign Christ liveth in us. As we allow him to live through us, he will be expressed. We will find that this life that we have received is a life that empties itself always. Amen. That this life that we have received is a life that humbles itself always. This life always takes the lower place. Amen. Oh, how we need this life. This is the way to live the Christian life. This is how God can lead his church to his will. So how many believers are for God's will? Amen. Many prayers and intercessions are for the will of man. But we're here on the earth for God's will. Amen. And this requires this mind. Oh, let this mind be in us as it was in Christ Jesus. And finally, I was touched with this point in verses 14 and 15 of Philippians. Because these verses tells us that this mind of this pattern, Christ as our living pattern, is a mind that does not complain about God's will. 2:14 and 15 says, can we read it together? Do all things without murmuring and reasonings, that you may be blameless and guileless children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world. I like this verse very much, especially this part that says that we shine as luminaries in the world. But how is it that we shine? When we express ourselves? No. When we let this mind be in us. When we let this mind that empties itself, this mind that humbles itself, then Christ is expressed. And in the midst of this crooked and perverted generation, in which in every walk of life there is a competition of who's best, we're actually ready to take the lowest place for the sake of our God. That doesn't mean that we have to be the worst student in class or the laziest worker. The opposite. We have to excel in everything we do. But you know, it's a matter in our heart. Why do I do it? Because I want to be exalted, because I want to be the first, because I want to be better. Many of us may not say it, but may think it. Here, speaking of murmuring and reasonings. So the situation as it is God's will. Many times we complain because of the situation we're in. But there is a God in this universe. There is one sitting on the throne. And it's not us, it's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So whatever our life is, the spouse that disagrees with us, the children that are not as obeying as we wish, the boss that is demanding too much, the health that we have or do not have, whatever the situation is, it is divinely arranged. Amen. So that in the faithfulness of God, he can transform us. He can work out this wonderful full salvation in us as we cooperate with him. But our mind is to complain about it. But Christ's mind is the will of God. This week we have this verse that touched me very much. Matthew 11, 29, 30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Also in this portion, I always like, this yoke is easy and his burden is light. But this yoke is the will of the Father. The Lord Jesus did not do his own will. He did not speak his own work. He took the will of the Father. And actually, this portion of the word is on the will of the Father, of acknowledging the will of the Father. Because the previous portion was speaking of Christ. If you read those verses from 25 up, the Lord was being rejected, not just by a few, by entire cities. He was there to serve them, to save them. But these unrepenting people turn away from him. So city by city, he's mentioning how these cities were turning away and despising him. But he did not complain. Verse 25, in this portion, before this portion of taking the yoke, which is God's will, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, and if you read, nobody was asking him any question. He was answering to the Father. He was in fellowship with the Father. The only way for us to have this mind is to keep ourselves in fellowship with the Lord. And he said, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I extol you, Father, Lord of heaven and on earth. This extol you is an expression of praise with acknowledgement. One thing is to praise the Lord for what he does for me. But another is to praise him, acknowledging that he is God. And whatever my circumstances are, he's still God and he's worthy of my praise. And actually, I will be one who stand on earth for his will and not for my will. You know, this expression of God, the heavens, and on earth, it appears when a man is standing on the earth for God's will. This is the Lord Jesus standing on the earth for God's will. So the Lord was not worried about the result of his work, the result of his preaching. He was not looking the prosperity of his work. He was seeking God's will. So he did not have a complaint. Instead, in the midst of trials and tribulations, the Lord will have an exaltation, a praise to the Father. I extol you, Father, Amen. God of the heavens and on earth. Well, this is the pattern. So how can we follow such a thing, such a living? That we will be those who praise the Lord in the midst of our trials and tribulations. Unless we let this mind be in us, this is impossible. But this mind does not complain about the situation. This mind extols the Father. This mind praises the Father for his will. So I was really touched by this, that as we go through situations, as we find many things to complain about, we take this mind. We let this mind be in us, that we will be those for God's will and not for our will. This will allow the Lord to accomplish what he desires on the earth. And he, first and foremost, he desires to build his church. But this is composed of the believers. So individually and also corporately, we must be those who let this mind be in us. Not the complaining, the murmuring and reasoning, but the mind of Christ that praised the Lord in the midst of trials. I was very encouraged by seeing that this living pattern lives in us. So it's just a matter of allowing him to live through us as we enjoy him. We read those verses, let this mind be in us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he mentioned with hymns, with singing, with songs. So we got to be those who are teaching and admonishing one another with the word, letting the word of God permeate our mind until this mind that was in Christ Jesus will be our mind. Day by day, little by little, the Lord may gain a little bit more ground in our mind. Let this mind be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. This is the way to experience Christ for the transformation of our souls. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let this mind be in us. Amen. We are not people without hope. We have a hope. Amen. Christ in you, Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. How about we say that together?
Christ in you,
the hope.
The word he shared was very clear. Of course, this is the second message during the Memorial Day weekend conference. And the conference title is The Experience of Christ. And last Lord's Day, we started the first week. The first week was concerning the intrinsic significance of the experience of Christ. Of course, this week is on the Christ. Knowing and experiencing Christ as the pattern. Knowing and experiencing Christ as the pattern. Let me just mention this. Almost the whole conference is on the book of Philippians. And Philippians in the Bible is sandwiched between Ephesians and Colossians. Ephesians speaks concerning the church, which is God's eternal purpose. So this morning, we are in the church meeting. So we are in the church. For us to be in the church, it's not just the gathering of the called out ones. The church is also the house of God, the kingdom of God, is also the body of Christ. Is also the new man, the bride of Christ, and the warrior. For us to be in the church life, there's the need of the experience of Christ. We're having many conferences concerning the reality of the body of Christ. I think the brothers also leading us, because for the reality of the body of Christ, which is the church, but there's a difference between church and the body. For us, we, as the church, we are the body, but also there's the need to have the reality of the body. To have the reality of the body, there's the need to have the experience of Christ. So we see the continuation that from the book of Ephesians into the book Philippians. That today, in the church life, we are very much needed to have the experience of Christ. And Philippians is a book that Paul and Timothy wrote to the saints in Philippians. And he particularly mentioned in chapter 2, we have read, and the brother also read again, concerning in Ephesians in the beginning of chapter 2, verse 3, he mentioned that doing nothing by way of selfish ambition, nor by way of vainglory. So it shows that the church in Ephesus, in Philippine, the church in the saints in Philippi, they have some situations. That's why, as the background, that Paul mentioned doing nothing by way of selfish ambition and by way of vainglory. Then, of course, the key phrase concerning this week was concerning the mind of Christ. Then he said, let this mind be in you, which is in verse 5. But before he mentioned about the mind of Christ, he was talking about the saints doing nothing but selfish ambition or vainglory. So we need to have this kind of mind, not have selfish ambition, not have the vainglory. But eventually he mentioned the mind of Christ. So in fact, Paul, while he was writing, he was not telling the Philippian believers, you need to do these two things, not doing things by selfish ambition, nor by way of vainglory. He was speaking concerning that, of course, I believe Paul himself experienced that he was not doing things, and we see in the example in all his epistles that he was not like such. But he, after mentioning not to have the, to have the mind of not have self-ambition and not have vainglory, he mentioned the mind of Christ. So in other words, the mind should be the mind of Christ. If we don't have the mind of Christ, then we will do things, you know, with selfish ambition and with you know, seeking vainglory. So we see that here it shows us that God's desire is not for us to keep some kind of law, but rather is for us to experience the dispensing of himself into us. Unless day by day we receive the dispensing, we will be remaining the same. So I just found out that I feel this is very precious for us today. God today is not after good Christians. God today is after God-man Christians. That means the Christians, we should not keeping a kind of set rules. Do not have self-ambition. Do not seek vainglory. These are not our Christian laws, New Testament laws, but rather they are telling us that we should not have this, but what should we have? We should have the mind of Christ. We should have God daily dispense into us. Then automatically we will live a life in the church life without self-ambition and without seeking vainglory. Okay, let me come to the precious phrase, the mind of Christ. I don't know about you. My concept was when Christ, the Son of God, became a man, he emptied himself. Taking the form of a slave, becoming the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man. And when he was a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, and the death of Christ. But if you read some of the excerpts, you'll realize this was not just when Christ became a man. Let me just read a portion of the excerpts. It may surprise you, and I read before, but it didn't leave much impression in me. In the Godhead, in the very God. Of course, God is eternal, from eternity past to eternity future. In the Godhead, the Lord voluntarily choose to be the Son. I thought, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, it was automatic. It was from eternity past to eternity future. It was not so. It may be different, okay? I don't want to kind of so definite that it's unchanging. I believe, you know, from Genesis, in the whole Old Testament, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit was not mentioned. It was only in Matthew 28:19, after the Lord's death and resurrection, he said, go and baptize. Baptize in them into the Father, the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We only see in the very beginning that when God was creating man, he said, let us make man. Us signify God on one hand is a unique God, but on the other hand, there is the aspect us. Of course, in the New Testament, we see very clearly there is the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So we see that in this portion that Brother Lee mentioned that the Son submitting himself to the authority of the Father. He chose to do that. And hence, he said that the Father was greater than he, which is John 14, verse 28. Maybe we can read that verse together. You have heard that I said to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. So the Father submitting was not just, you know, when God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. In fact, the sending of the Son, according to the Word, is not just when he became a man. Because in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, he mentioned that his going forth, his coming out of eternity into time, was from the days of eternity. So his going, his coming was from eternity. So I'm just very impressed that the Lord Jesus, he was from the very beginning. He was, you know, the triune God, they're all equal. That's why he mentioned he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. From there, he was, you know, the entire divine Trinity, they were in harmony. And he truly is a wonderful, you know, our pattern. But this pattern is not something objective or that regulation pattern for us to intimate. You know, during the student training, Chinese-speaking student training, there was a sense of fellowshipping. And in the church life, we should have patterns, right? We should see patterns, and we should follow the patterns, and we should become the patterns. Even we see some good patterns in the church life, we like to follow. According to the principle, we may not be able to make it. Because the pattern in the New Testament, in Philippians, is the living pattern. Amen. It's the very person, he is the pattern, but he is also that life in us. So today, what we need is not just imitation, but rather we need to contact him daily. Then spontaneously, it will be a kind of living, and we won't be conscious. Otherwise, you see, I'm a pattern, you know, or so-and-so is a pattern. That's imitate him. That's not the New Testament principle. Today, we need to follow the Lord, but at the same time, contact the Lord. The Lord himself is the life, is the living pattern in all of us. So, I'm just so thankful that today we're covering this matter, but we're not covering as a matter of the now in the church life. We need to check one another. Is anybody is having ambitious or you know self-ambition or some kind of a seeking man glory? No, that's not what we are here covering this matter so that we can check one another. But rather that we need to see this pattern and that we need to experience, knowing and experience Christ as the pattern. I'm impressed by the a statement in the key statements. In the key statements during the conference, there are four key statements. The second statement is, there is an urgent need among us in the Lord's recovery today, to know and experience the pattern of the Christian life. Now, our brother mentioned about the students, right? Students want to be ahead, to be the number one, and there were incidents, even the number two. I was so angry, was angry with the professor, angry with the number one, and the tragic happens. But here, imagine that today in the Lord's recovery, there's an urgent need. That means among us, there's an urgent need that we need to see this pattern and know this pattern and experience this pattern. And to have this, this is not just for the church life. You know, we need this in the church life because the church life was so, you know, so intimate with one another. If we're competing with one another, definitely we won't experience Christ and we won't have the enjoyment of Christ. This is also very much needed in our family life, you know, in our family life, among the siblings or among the husband and wife. We all need this. We need this urgent word to know the pattern and to enjoy, to experience this pattern. And today, the Christ I enjoy that in the beginning of the Lord's table, we see many hymns concerning that Christ lives in us. That today, our Christ is not an objective Christ, but rather he is the living spirit in us. So daily, we need to contact the Lord, you know. That's why sandwiched between Christ and the church is the experience of Christ. So we need to experience the Lord in a personal contact with the Lord. He is the head, but he is also our life. And we also need this very Christ in the church life, you know. Among us, with one another, we should remind one another that we have this living Christ. I enjoy that our brother shared that in Colossians, he mentioned about that the word of Christ dwell in us richly. But this word can dwell in us, must be living, must be something living. But today, the living word, which is Christ, is in the written word, Bible. So we need to read the word daily and read it with prayerfully, so the written word can become the living word. And the living word convey the living thoughts of God. Today, our God, through his word, he can be infused into us and transform, renew our mind. You know, Brother Lee, I think he had a very striking expression. He said, all of us, how we dress, how we speak, is all from here. And what's in here is from what we contact, what we read, what we hear, and what we see. We may be the advertisement of this world, of this age. Some people may see a person. You will see, this person is in. He expressed this world. The way he dressed, the way, you know, his expression, the way he's speaking. But today, if we are infused with the word, living word, the living word will express through our speaking, through our expression, through our dress, through our contacting one another. So may we not be the advertisement of the world. May we all be a part of the testimony of Jesus. Amen. So the Lord can gain his expression, his purpose. So thank the Lord we are covering this portion of the word. It's so rich for all of us to experience. And I think the last verse we read was that we may be blemished in this world, shining forth the word of life for his purpose. Amen. So we're open to all the saints. And especially there are so many went to the college training. The college training is on the good land, on the Jubilee, right? So we'd like you also to share. Don't feel that we are covering the Philippines. You cannot share. No, we want to hear your portion. Especially your brother is traveling, right? Visiting us. Maybe you can be the first one. Amen. So I'll stop here, and we can start the sharing from all the saints. So the local saints or the saints visiting, this is your chance. Amen. Okay.